Hello, everybody. It is a beautiful morning over here. I'm sitting in the sun, getting some contemplation done before I start my day. Okay, so as some of you may know, we're in the 10 days of Teshuvah right now. This is the period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's a period of reflection and repentance. The word teshuvah really just means turning, so kind of going through the cycles of reflection and repentance, forgiveness, all of that, right? And one of the parts of this practice that I'm really into is the ethical will portion. So some synagogues have classes and workshops on this within the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So what does that mean? So you know about a will. A will is typically what people write before they die to hand over all their material goods and make sure they go to the proper channels and proper people, or that they're not even preserved in the first place, right? An ethical will is essentially the accumulated knowledge that you want to leave behind for others. So an ethical will is pretty much just writing down what do you know about life so far? Like, what do you know? And then tell people that. Or rather, write it down and then people can save it. Some synagogues even keep all the ethical wills on file, which I think is really interesting. Should anyone happen to die by fire, by plague, by flood, by whatever, right? So writing an ethical will is possibly my favorite part of being a Jew, to be honest. I think it's important to write these things down. I live as though I never know whether I'm waking up tomorrow. It's part of why I make such abrupt decisions so often, because I truly exist as though I have a terminal illness and I just don't know when I'm going to putter out. So, and I don't know why I live this way. I couldn't tell you why I have that. Actually, I could probably just show you my natal chart. But anyways, I love writing an ethical will. I try to live in a place of not knowing as much as I can. I actually think that this is one of the clearest ways to move through life, for me at least, right? Because the minute you assume you have some piece of knowledge, you're now identified with it in some way. And now anything that falls outside of this knowledge you've accumulated, you're going to immediately write it off. Right? Because you've identified this is something this is something I know. I am now identified with this thing. Now, anything that falls outside the realm of it, I'm now going to question it. I'm going to feel bristled because, hey, that's a part of my ego now, right? So for me, this is all very Buddhist what I'm saying. But for me, I find that existing in a place of not knowing has actually made me much wiser, ironically. So the ethical will is interesting because I actually have to claim my knowledge. I actually have to sit there and write it down. And I have to know that should something happen to me, this is going to probably be the thing that people read over and over again about me. And in this day and age, Jesus Christ, someone would probably find access to my audio ethical will, put music overlapping it, and do like a montage of photos of me. Jeez Louise, I just want to hang myself just describing that. God, I hate social media. To be honest, one of my greatest fears about dying in the era of social media is people claiming to have known me and like writing these memorial posts about me when I don't even fuck with them like that. Like, that's one of my biggest fears. One of my greatest anxieties, even. Just like, you know how people are? Like, there's like a charade around death that I just don't get. People claim to know people they never really knew that much. Or suddenly they get really big feelings about someone they met in passing at a party. And like, I know everyone processes grief really differently. And I don't think the grief is wrong, but I think when you barely know somebody, like you interacted with them for maybe 5 minutes at best, to make a giant memorial post on the internet about it, it's just, it's so attention seeking in this really weird way where you're like, oh, I've lost somebody. And it's like, yo, you didn't lose anybody. You didn't know this person. You didn't know this person. You didn't lose anyone, bro. Like, relax, take a breath, you know? It's just, it's humiliating to me. And just the idea, like, truly, there's only about 22 people I know who, if they wrote a memorial post about me and posted it online, that I would smile down and go, that was kind of nice, right? And even then, I'm like, you don't need to publicly grieve me by any means. That's what funerals are for. That's what a lot of other things are for, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, you can hang out with people who knew me, go to the ocean, maybe say some nice words. Like, there's so many things you can do. But if you perform grief of my death, grief over my death, and you're not in like a 22-person group that I know and love, I wish horrible things upon you. I'm just going to say that now. Okay, so my ethical will. I wanted to read it, and I don't really know why. It's kind of like, I think that I was just going to write this and put it somewhere and go. That was my hand slapping my knee, by the way. I was going to just write this and go and like hand it over to my partner, make sure she keeps some physical copies of it. But how interesting is it? Like, I wish I was recently reading my father-in-law's ethical will. He passed away a while ago. I was reading my father-in-law's ethical will, and everything in me wished I could hear him say it rather than read it. I still got the messages. I was still hearing it. I actually really resonated with it, to be honest. I was like, shit, we would have gotten along, wouldn't we? But I wish I could have heard his voice say it. I wish I could have felt the feeling behind it. You know, sometimes reading these things is so dry. It just sounds like, reading philosophy even, or reading an opinion piece. And we all know how trash that experience is. So I figured I would just put it here, you know? Because I know my partner would be able to log into my Anchor app or just log into an Anchor app in general should my phone get smashed. Like, let's just say I get jumped this year and stabbed to death or something. Sorry, that's really graphic. But let's say I just get jumped, stabbed to death, and someone steals my phone, right? I still know my partner could log into my Anchor app because I use the same password for everything. Oh, I shouldn't say that out loud. Whatever. Okay, anyways. And I think that there's something to hearing someone's affect when they talk about their ethical will. I'm still going to write this shit down, obviously, but I think it's good to just speak it and say it out loud. Just should anybody want to listen to this in case I die this year, you know? You never know. I could die a million different ways this year. I could die a million different ways today, to be honest. So here it is. So I have a couple points in my ethical will. Let's see, how many did I write down? I wrote down 9 things for my ethical will, 9 bullet points of things I know about life, or things that at least I've experienced to be true about life. This is kind of like the most general distillation of everything I know in this life. It's a super general distillation. So this is not everything I know, just to be clear. My ego's talking right now. This is not every single thing I know. I actually know a shit ton about the human body because I kind of study that nonstop for a living. And I have no plans of stopping. I'm only going to study in different ways over time. Eventually, it's going to probably include TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, or Ayurveda or something, right? Like, I know a lot about the human body, and like from a both spiritual perspective, but also just a very physical perspective, like physiological anatomy based perspective. I know a lot about a lot of shit. Okay. Just technically, this is more just about life and living, the kind of stuff that you want to pass down to somebody about life and living. Like, I'm not passing down anatomy knowledge. You know, I'm not passing down language knowledge, like God, you know what I mean? That would be the worst ethical will of all time. Okay, so I'm about to begin. So in case I die this year and someone's about to cut the previous part and just put this over a corny montage of images, do the edit now. Okay, so my ethical will for 5781. Okay, number one, people will try and put you into boxes. Many people are inadvertently obsessed with archetypes, patterns, and collections of characteristics. Don't blame them or get angry with them for this. Life is chaotic and unexpected. And this way of thinking can bring comfort and stability to those looking for it. With that being said, don't let yourself be defined by the boxes people try and fit you into. Simply laugh loudly and often at the attempt to define your limitlessness and vastness. And try to never define the limitlessness and vastness of others. Two, never take advice from those who are afraid of change. They will most likely encourage you to stay trapped in the same ways that they are. Have compassion and kindness for these kind of people, but don't look to them for life direction or advice. Three, it is extremely important to cultivate as much physical strength and stamina as you can. The stronger you are, the more you're able to assist those who are less physically able. You'd be surprised at the moments that will arise when someone needs a hand or some extra assistance that requires physical strength. Think of those who are less able-bodied, children, and elders. Four, read often. Audiobooks and podcasts are great too, but read as often as you can. Reading outside with the sun on your skin and the grass or dirt on your feet is the best thing you can do for yourself. Five, if you want to change your life, do it. Let yourself be afraid, let yourself shake with anticipation or anxiety, and do it anyways. Switch careers, get in or out of a relationship, change your hobbies, change anything. The only people who will look down on you are people who are comforted by your misery and lack of forward momentum. This isn't love. Six, not that many people love you. This might sound frightening and dark, and perhaps it is. But it's a reality that if you choose to embrace it, you will finally find those who do love you. It is best to have a handful of people in your life that truly, deeply, compassionately love you, rather than a larger group of people who you're constantly trying to convince yourself of their love and care that isn't readily apparent or non-existent. Seven, cherish the ones that do love you. Tell them often and express it often. These relationships are the most of the reason why we even exist. The world comes into greater harmony in the presence of true love. Eight, study Torah as often as you can. And my definition of Torah is expansive. To study Torah is to study the nature of existence and the cycles of life, death, and rebirth. This can be literally studying Torah. This can look like gardening. This can look like silently staring out into the sea and watching the tides roll in. This can be asking your child or anyone in their life questions about their day and truly listening. Study Torah often. And lastly, number nine, never be afraid to tell an adult to go fuck themselves. Never say this to someone under the age of 28. They are still in their young phase of life and need endless love and compassion in their formative years. But once someone is a full-fledged adult, telling them to fuck off can be a succinct wake-up call that can shake them awake out of a false reality they've created. Or it can piss them off and get them away from you. Either option has you no longer surrounded by an asshole. And this is a good thing. So that's my ethical will for you all. Can't wait to do this again next year.